The following lecture, titled Organizing Our Resources for Productive Community Life, was recorded on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Tuesday, July the 22nd, 1998. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As we say in Islam, peace be unto you, assalamu alaikum. We praise God, the one and only Lord and keeper of this universe, whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth, made by him, and he keeps the order of everything, and he is only God, and he is the only God. There is no other God except the one that made all this beautiful world above our heads and all around us possible for us, made us, the human beings, a special creation with potential above all the other creatures that he made. We are able to do things that no other thing in the creation is able to do, and that is change our life to suit ourselves, make choices, independent, free choices. We can be what Allah wanted us to be. We can be what the God wants us to be. Or we can change our mind and say, hey, I don't like what I am. I'm not going to be what God made me to be. I'm going to be something different. So God gave us the freedom, because we're so special, gave us the freedom to choose to be even something he doesn't want us to be. God knows that most of us will soon get tired of doing something that's not best for us, and we will come back to what he wants. And the world sometimes looks like it's lost, and there's no way to get people to think sanely, or to think sensibly, or to think righteousness, or to think obedience to God. And all of a sudden, something happens in the world, and things begin to change, and pretty soon we are looking at that bad time as a time that has passed. And believe me, in the 70s, I was really worried. I was troubled by the way people were behaving, even by the way the establishment was behaving. I thought the establishment, the newspapers, the media, the magazines, the major magazines, the TV, the television, Hollywood, I thought these media instruments, these mass media instruments, were really feeding disobedience, encouraging disobedience, disobedience to God, disrespect for God, disrespect for sacred things. I felt the media had a big hand in that, and I was so angry and I was so uptight that I just wanted to scream. I saw a movie once, and the fellow in the movie, he said, stop the world, I want to get off. And I'm telling you, when he said that, I cheered. I did two claps in the mood, because I felt the same way. I felt that the world was no good for me anymore. I wanted to stop. I wanted to get off this world, be separated from this world. And all of a sudden, these people start changing for the better. And that's the time we're living in now. We're living in a time when respect for God is back. Respect for parents is back. Respect for human life is back. These things are back now, and this is a good time to be living in. This is a good time to say yes. We thank God for life. We thank God for all the possibilities that we enjoy in this life. It's time for Muslims to say, yes, we thank God. We thank God for our religion. We thank God for our holy book, the Quran. We thank God for Muhammad the prophet, who was on this earth preaching to human beings when no one else would turn his people around, turn them away from idol worship, turn them away from shameful behavior. In the main areas of the town, they would go in the center of the town, they would go in the heart of the town, they would go right in the heart of the town, what we call downtown, and they would go there and march around the Kaaba, a house, a sacred house, in the nude. And the society was accepting that they behaved that way. They were marching around the sacred house naked. And that was imposed upon them by the wealthy people. The wealthy people say, the poor people, you have to go around it naked. We wear clothes, you have to go naked. So it was a very, very bad time for good behavior. And Muhammad the prophet was chosen. So Muslims, you should be happy to say, we thank Allah for Islam. We thank Allah for the Quran, our holy book. We thank Allah for Muhammad the prophet that broke that ugly time and changed the trends in the time of dark Arabia, ignorant Arabia. and made it possible for us to have Islam. God's mercy to us, Muhammad the Prophet, and his mercy to all the world. And we should be proud of that, that God says of Muhammad, he's not just for Muslims, he's a mercy to all people, he's a mercy to all the world. And that God said of our sacred place in Mecca that we look to and we pray to there, we pray toward that place, it's our center, our direction in prayer, and we make pilgrimage there once a year if we can afford to. We go there and I'm planning to make a minor visit called Umrah very soon. I'll make Umrah there, inshallah. We make the visit to that sacred house and we circle that, go around in a circle, circling that sacred house and complete the rituals there. And we feel great about that. But we have to understand that God says of that house, of that little simple sacred house, God said that it was built for all people, not just for Muslims. That it was built for all mankind. It, as a symbol, holding great meanings for all human beings on this earth, it was built for all mankind, for all people. So Muslims, we can't be so selfish that we live Islamic life without any recognition or any awareness that we have to live a life not only for Muslims, but a life for other people too, for our Christian neighbors, for non-Muslims. We have to live so our life is a contribution to all people, a good contribution to all good people. That's how we have to live. Muhammad the Prophet said, to support what I just said to you, I'm giving you the words of our Prophet, Muhammad. Muhammad said, the best of you is the one who benefits all people, whose life and works benefit all people, who is most helpful to the people. That's the one who's the best of you, according to Muhammad the Prophet. If you want it in Arabic, I'll give it to you in the words that he said. He spoke not English. خيركم من ينفع الناس. خيركم من ينفع الناس. The best of you is the one who is helpful to all people, whose life and works benefits all people. So we witness that God is God and he's the one, and there is no God with him and no God other than God. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed better than 1400 years ago, is the last of the prophets mentioned in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament. He's, according to the teachings of our holy book, the Quran, he's mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the Bible, and we witness that he is a mercy to all people. Rahmatan linnas, mercy to all the people. We witness that he is the seal of the prophets, according to the teachings of our holy book, that he is the seal of the prophets. He is the last of the prophets and the seal of the prophets. May prayers and peace be upon him. Amen. As you say, amen. We are going to have a question period where you ask questions, direct questions to me, according to what you have heard. If you have some questions about it, ask me questions. Now, that's why I'm here. I'm here to talk to you and have you ask questions, but direct your questions to what I'm saying or to what I have said. And please try to remember correctly what I have said before you give me the question. Be sure you are asking a question with a knowledge of exactly what I said. So many times people come up and they say, you said that. I say, said what? I never heard that before. And they listen to me and still get up and say, you said, I say, hey, I never heard that before. So be sure you know what I say and remember what I say exactly as I said it, and then ask your question about that. Now, if you want to ask a question about something outside of this talk and outside of this visit, I will accept that, but I expect you to ask questions directed to what I have said or to what I'm saying, and not the Muslim world or the Muslim community of America or Imam Debedin Muhammad, what he did last year or 50 years ago. I don't expect questions like that. But if you have to ask a question like that, I will try to answer it. I will try to do my best to answer it. Now, what is this concern that we have for Muslims or for people, not just Muslims, for people organizing their resources so that we will have more productive communities. The future of the world, the way things are moving, the way the world is moving, tells us that citizens everywhere, not just here in Milwaukee or in Chicago where I come from, but everywhere in the world, citizens are going to have to accept more responsibility for their lives and for the life of the community that they live in. That's the way the world is going. And I believe that's in accord with what is in Scripture, both Quran and Bible, both the book, holy book of Muslims, the Quran, or Quran as they say in English, and the Bible, tells us that a time is coming when individuals are going to have to accept more responsibility for themselves. Language that you recognize as Christians, the Bible says, every tub shall sit on his own bottom. Everyone shall have his own vine and fig tree. So this is the Bible. And in our holy book, God says, no bearer of a burden can bear the burden of another. In other words, your burden is your responsibility. I may help you, but your burden is still your responsibility. And by me helping you does not excuse you from your responsibility. So you have somebody who's lazy. They won't wake up at 7 o'clock, and they know they're supposed to get up at 7 o'clock and get ready to go to work and be to work at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And you volunteer to see that person is awake and go and help them push them onto the washroom and help them get out that door. Well, in the world, you help that person be successful. But when it comes to judgment day, when God, all of us are going to have to answer before God, that is not going to excuse that person. God is going to say, that credit goes to the person who woke your lazy up every morning at 7 o'clock and pushed you to the washroom. That credit goes to them. Where's your credit? And if you don't have any credit, you know you're not going to get the great blessing of paradise, according to the teachings of both books, Bible and Quran. Yes. So how are we going to survive now in this world that's coming, and it's already on us, really, that's asking more of us that we be responsible for more in our own life and in our neighborhoods or in our communities? How are we going to prepare for it? I think we should prepare for it the same way that all other great efforts were made to improve the life of community and to improve the life of individuals in community. Those efforts were made by organizing the resources of the people and bringing people together who have similar resources, similar concerns, similar sensitivities, bring them together. We have to learn the example of Muhammad the Prophet and prophets before him, like Jesus Christ, peace be upon them, who selected certain people, and those people became their close acquaintance. Those people became their close friends. Those persons were selected out of the many people to be their companions, to help them in their life and in their life work. Well, all of us have to do that. That's human nature. When I was a boy, there were some boys I wanted to be with more than I wanted to be with other boys. So I ended up with two or three friends that were my very close friends that I went out with almost every day. I saw them every day. We came very close. I know their names right now. Their names are in my mind right now, so clearly, because that's how close we were. Yes, so all of us have to do that. But we have to do that not only in the name of pleasure or in the name of fun. We have to do that in the name of survival and progress. Survival and progress. In the name of survival and progress, each of us should say, who makes the best company for me? Who has sensitivities like mine? Who thinks like I think? And if we start mixing like that, but if you're not selective, and that's the greatest power God has given us, the power to make choices, independent choices, to use our reasoning, to use our rational mind and make independent choices for the better. So we have to select these people that we're going to have as our buddies and our friends. I'm not telling you to put down your friend that you've been friends with for 10 years. That's your business. But if I were you, and if I was going to look at my friends and say, now Who's more like me in his sensitivities? Who feels about things the way I feel about things? The good, bad, ugly, beautiful, life, death, pain, pleasure. Who feels like I do about these things? And if that one who had been my friend for 10 years, I found out that he doesn't feel the way I feel about things, and he doesn't seem to be going in the direction that I want to go in, I would have to put an X on him. Now, I ain't talking about Malcolm X. I'm talking about just the X means out, crossed out. I'd have to cross him out. I said, I can't go with you now. The world is asking for us to accept responsibility. The future depends on me accepting more responsibility in my life. I want a condition so I can make progress. The best condition for progress is when you have the best environment for progress. You don't have a good environment for progress when you got people working with you and playing with you and living with you every day, occupying your time from morning till night. You're spending your time with them and they pulling in one direction and you pulling in another. You never make any progress because you're in the company of people who always want to go left and you want to go right. You have to change that. You have to select friends to survive and make progress. And we have to select workers to survive and make progress. We who have responsibility for work in the community or for work in our home, we have to organize the home, and then partner up with those who feel more like you feel in the home, in the family. That's what families are supposed to do. You may have 5 brothers and 4 sisters. All 10 are not going to agree. All 10 are not going to be the same, but there'll be a partner in that family for every one of you. I've never seen a family where somebody didn't have nobody to partner up with if they wanted to partner up with somebody. In my family, I had my brother Herbert, and I had my brother Elijah Jr., and I had my little brother Akbar that I partnered up with. I could partner up with any of those 3. The rest of them, they were so far away from me, I couldn't communicate that very well with them. But with those 3, I could communicate, and we partnered up. So we always can find good partners for survival and progress. We have to organize our resources. What resources? The first resource that you have is your human feelings. That's your good resources. To have good human sensitivities, to have good, sensible, sane human feelings. That's a great resource. Great resource. Believe me, that resource keeps you out of a lot of trouble. That great resource keeps you from suffering a lot of losses. So if you have good sensitivities, if you have good feelings, then treasure that. You're a good person. And you should be with good people. And you should be partnering up with good people. That's a great resource. But you're also brilliant. You're bright. You're intelligent. You make C's and no F's. That's good. You thought I was going to say A's, huh? You make C's and no F's. That's good. I know a great president of the United States, maybe one of the most productive presidents of the United States. They say that president's grade average was a C. Not B, not A, a C. But he turned out to be a terrific guy. Sometimes the school environment doesn't bring out everything that's in you. So a student will be making a D or a C or an A or a B or something, and they probably could do much better in a different situation. So always it is not the grades you made in school that really tell what possibilities or what you were qualified for or what possibilities you could have. Not always the right criteria. So he was a C and a very great president, a very, very productive president, outstanding among presidents of these United States. Now I heard that of John Johnson, President Johnson. No, not John Johnson, correction. Johnson, President Johnson, who died. Lyndon Baines Johnson. I didn't have that on note. I'm so used to trying to talk without. I better bring something out here to look at. Yes, Lyndon Baines Johnson. That's who I'm talking about. I read that Lyndon Baines Johnson was a C average student, but a better than an A average president. We all have to live together. The world has been made all over again. Walls have come down that separated religious communities from each other. Walls have come down that separated nations from each other. We have to live with each other. That means we can't plan without the other people in mind. If I'm going to plan for my future in America, I can't plan without having the others who are planning their future in mind. So Muslims, we want to plan our future in these United States. We want to plan to really develop as a community in Milwaukee, in Racine, in Chicago, in every city where we are populated, where we have some population there. We want to plan to grow in these cities, and we can't have our plan on the table but also having in that plan respect for the plan of the church people and the synagogue people and others in religion. They're planning too. So we have to plan knowing that they're planning too, and we have to meet with them and get acquainted with them so we can know to the best of our ability. We want to know what are they planning so that we will know how can we complement that plan. How can we be a complement to that plan? How can we be helped and not harm? And we want them to be aware of the things that we share with them in common so that maybe they feel the same way we feel. We want them to look at what we're doing and say, how can we complement what the Muslims are doing? How can we be a help to the Muslims' plan for their future community life and not a hurt? Then we should be organizing the resources. The people who have the school, elementary school, high school or whatever, as their interest, they've made a career, they're teachers, they're going to be teachers all their lives. They should find teachers like themselves, with feelings like they have, with an interest in the students like they have. They should find those teachers, and they should work with the people that they have closeness with. Closeness, who they're closest to, in their feelings and in their aspirations, their feelings and what they want to see for education. They should get with those people and work with those people, combine their resources, organize their resources to make a better contribution to education. We should do this in education. We should do it in business. We're asking that our business people not only work for business for the individual and business for the family, you have to do that. But we want some people who want to do more than that. We want some people who accept responsibility in bigger circles. We want some people who want to see their contribution in business not only benefit themselves and their family, but we want to see people who want to see their contributions benefit the city, benefit Milwaukee, benefit the neighborhood they live in. They want to see more business life in the neighborhood they live in. We want those people to get together and collect and join together like people with like people. People of like sensitivities with people of like sensitivity. People of like aspirations with people of similar aspirations or like aspirations. Get together, combine your resources, and plan to make this life in community a better life. This is what we want to see. And I believe this is the demand of the future. This is the way the future is going to be. This is what the future is asking for. Present and future, future even more. This is what God wants. God wants that. God has not created any of us to be so selfish, to have a good thing, to have it good for ourselves and not care about our neighbors. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, the Muslim who goes to bed with his stomach satisfied, knowing his neighbor's hungry, is not one of the believers, not one of the Muslims. So he didn't say, but your neighbor has to be a Muslim. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, I repeat, he said, if anyone goes to bed with his stomach satisfied and he knows his neighbor is hungry, he's not a Muslim. You're not supposed to go to bed. You're supposed to go find some food and get to that neighbor next door. And the neighbor doesn't have to be a Muslim. The neighbor could be a Christian. So this is the way of God, not just the way of the world, or with the trend of the new world. This is the trend that God wants, and God has brought this about. God created us to have the behavior we have, to have the nature, the behavioral nature that we have. And when wrong punishes this behavioral nature says, I've had enough, pretty soon their behavioral nature is going to say, I haven't had enough. I may be the first one to say, I had enough. You may be the first one to say, I had enough. An old man might be the first one to say, I had enough of this world that is going against reason and going against morality and going against God. It might be an old man say that. It might be a teenager that says that. It might be a little child that says that first. But God has made us to say we've had enough when things get too far out of line. So let us think about that and know that God has made each of us very special creation, human beings. There's nothing that I'd rather be than a human being. If God would say to me, after learning my place in this world from Scripture, if God would say, well, Wallace, it's not too late. Would you like to be a special angel in the heavens? I'd say, God, will I still be a human too? God said, no, just an angel. No, thank you. I thank you for what you made me, human. And I want to organize my life upon the human pattern that you made. Upon the human pattern that you made, God. And I want to make the best of it. And I want to work with people who share my feelings and my aspirations. Combine resources and make a better place for us to live in. The home, the block, the neighborhood, the city, the world. Thank you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Thank God. I would like to thank our Imam for that lecture and for the talk to us. I hope we all benefited from it. That was the lecture portion of the event today. We would like to go into our question and answering period. We did pass out 5x7 cards for people to write their questions down. If anyone has any questions, they can write their questions on the card. First question here we'll read. Question is, what are your views on education in our Muslim schools here in Milwaukee?
I'm not from Milwaukee, so I can't have any particular opinions about the education in the Muslim schools in Milwaukee. But I do know that Milwaukee has always, the Muslims of Milwaukee have always been I would say committed to have Muslim school, Muslim education for their children, to have Islamic teachings for their children, Arabic language, which is the language of our holy book, for their children. And recently there has been an effort to strengthen or improve the school in Milwaukee. Sister Basima Shahid, the wife of Brother Imam Ronald Shahid, has been asked to come here to Milwaukee to be the principal of the school, of the elementary school. She accepted. She has been the principal there. And she's working with others who are supporting the school to better the Islamic curriculum for the school. So I don't have any knowledge of any problem, except a need for more people with resources, with education skills, to join their effort. We need volunteers. Education is very expensive. A poor community. We are not wealthy sheikhs from Kuwait, from the Gulf states. We are not wealthy people. We are poor people from the ghettos of the United States. So we don't have finances to finance our needs in education. Like others who come here from those wealthy areas of the world, they can finance, and we can't. They can finance their needs, and we can't. So we have to ask for volunteer help. We pay some help. We have to ask for some volunteer help. So I know one of the concerns would be that those who have education, training, and skills, and desire to see improvement for the Muslim schools in Milwaukee, we would like for you to identify yourself and come forward so you can volunteer. If no more than an hour a week or a day a week, volunteer sometime to help make our school a better school. I say that in the name of our school here and in the name of the principal, Sister Basima, because I'm sure that she welcomes that, and she's looking for that kind of help. Yes. Yes, if you could.
Okay, the next question here. How can children help better the community?
Be better children. Same thing for adults. How could adults help the community? Be better adults. We need better adults and we need better children. And one thing I say to the children, I know that I'm almost 65. I'll be 65 soon in this year. And the child in me has never gone away. And I think that's true for everybody. Sometimes I wake up and the child in me is in my mind and on my mind and shaping my thoughts. The child in me. So I would say to you, no matter how young you are, if you know this world is not a good world, good enough for human beings, if you know that your life and your family and your neighborhood is not good enough for human beings, then use your good senses, qualify yourself. If you have a desire to make things better, have the courage to go on and follow that desire and find a way to qualify yourself so that we'll have a better leader in that neighborhood with your manhood than we had with the manhood of those before you. So that's what I would say to the youngsters. Don't be afraid to look at our world and criticize it, to look what we have done with it and criticize it, and hope that you will make a contribution better so that people will have a better life in the neighborhoods and a better world. And remember this also, none of us can carry the world on our backs. We have to have others to help us. Know that you are going to need much help, and you're going to have to influence the leadership. You're going to have to impress the newspapers, the media. You're going to have to win friends to your cause. But be brave and have the courage to want to make a better world than the one that you lived in yourself, or the one that you're living in yourself. That's how the world gets better. I was a young man and I saw the Temple of Islam. They call it the Temple of Islam. And I looked at it and I said, according to what I'm hearing from my father, it's not what it should be. And that's what made me stand up and be a minister. I became a minister just because of that. Because I looked at my father's congregation and I said, according to what I'm hearing from him, this congregation is not what it should be. And I was a young man. I was a teenager when I said that.
The next question here is a two-part question. The first question is, I have a hard time always believing in God. What should I do? The second part is, I question whether a book can be a revelation from God. How do you believe in a holy book?
All right. Well, let me say this. Sound like you're reading some pages out of my life story. Because I looked at the God the way that they were telling me God was, and I wasn't satisfied with it. And I questioned God. I'm going to share this with you. I think all of us want to believe in God. I don't believe God created any human being that without a soul, that deep in that soul there's a desire to want to believe in God and want to obey God. But what is your idea of God? What is God to you? The world that I was born in was called the Black Muslims, or the Temple of Islam. And they gave me the idea of God. And I looked at it and I said, if that's God, then I don't want it. I didn't do it all of a sudden, but in time I thought about it and thought about it. As I got older, I didn't like it. So I said, if that's God, if God is going to do these things, if that's the way God behaves, I said, now that's the only God I knew, so I had to speak to that God that I knew. I said, God, if that's your behavior, if that's your judgment, if that's the way you are, then I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want you. I said, when you bring me in your court, I'm gonna bring charges against you. That's what I said to God. Now, I'm sharing this. This is something that's hard for me to share with a public audience like this, you know? But I'm sharing that with you. That's what I said, because I wanted to believe in God. I said, well, if that's God, when you bring me in your court, I'm going to have charges to make against you. So that person who's writing that, you keep seeking. You keep questioning. That's what I say to you. Keep questioning. You don't believe, don't believe. Don't believe until you feel comfortable to believe. Don't believe in the scripture, don't believe in God until you feel in your soul comfortable to believe in that. That's my advice to you.
Next question. At what age or point in your life did you realize that you had to take total responsibility for yourself, family, and community?
I don't know. I can't recall the exact time in my life when that happened. Seemed like it was yesterday. Now, when I say, when you say total responsibility, now that's a big, that's big, that's big part. That's too big. Total responsibility. No, I accept responsibility for my behavior. I accept responsibility for my thoughts and for my behavior. That's what I accept responsibility for. I can't accept responsibility for my family. I can do my best for my family. I accept responsibility to do my best for my family. But to say that I accept responsibility for the state of my family, that I'm going to accept responsibility to keep my family healthy, to keep them as happy, to keep them sane, to keep them clean, to keep them active, that's too much for me. We all have to accept that responsibility. They have to accept responsibility for themselves, too. So I accept responsibility within limits. I accept responsibility for my family, given that they are also going to be decent enough to accept responsibility for themselves and want to share the responsibility that we all have to accept for our family. Yeah. And that goes for the community and anything else. No, I have a limit on how much I can carry. And I expect that my members of my family will respect that and try to do their best too.
Can we as Muslims accept or go to the banking institutions, etc., to get money, loans, with the obligation upon getting the loan, paying interest, or is interest prohibited?
Well, let me first tell you what I've experienced. If you want to go to the bank to get a loan, you better have some collateral. You better have some what they call equity. Yeah, if you don't have something worth money already, you got to show them. If you don't have dollars, you have to show them, I have a brand new Porsche. I have a brand new Jaguar. I have a home. I have a home without a mortgage on it. I haven't taken out a mortgage on it. If you can't show them you have money, they're not going to loan you money. That's number one. Now, as far as avoiding the banking system, problems with the banking system, avoiding having to get interest, interest compounded, to avoid that, let's get behind the program we got. If you're in this community, we got a business effort going nationwide. Let's get with that business effort, and we can put our monies together, we can invest our monies together, and we can escape the problem of rebate working together as business people.
In greatest respect, what does it mean to be a Muslim? What is the difference between a Muslim and a Christian?
Well, the difference between a Muslim and a Christian, number one, is that Muslims say there is but one God, and Jesus Christ, peace be upon the Prophet, is not the Son of God. but the creation of the special creation of God. That's the big difference. The next big difference is the Christians follow scripture revealed 2,000 years ago, written by apostles on the life of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Muslims follow the Quran revealed about 14 centuries ago to Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him. These are the major differences. I could keep pointing out to you major differences, but when it comes to what we believe in essentially what you believe in. We believe in God, we believe in God's angels, we believe in the revelations that come from, that came from God through his messengers and prophets. We believe in the prophets and messengers and the books and the revealed books. We believe in the day of judgment. We believe in the Qadr of God, that God has ordered this world to give us the benefits that we want if we approach it correctly, and to give us harm if we approach it incorrectly. We believe in all these things. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that everything has to account before God one day. So these are your beliefs too. These are Muslims' beliefs, and these are your beliefs. So I wish someone had asked, what are the similarities for Christians and Muslims? It would have been a much nicer question, but thank you anyway. That question has to be answered too. What are the differences? I gave you the main differences.
What specific ways can people share resources to improve economic conditions?
Specific ways to share resources to enjoy economic? Economic?
Economic conditions.
To enjoy better economic conditions. What is the best way to do that? We don't have enough time to really do that that question justice. I would simply say, be decent human beings by each other. God has already created us with a human soul and human nature to know when we are not being decent by each other. Be decent by each other and want to see bigger work in the world, more help in the world. If you do that, you're going to join your small efforts so that your small efforts become a big effort. That's what we are doing.
What should be our roles as Muslims, as humans, regarding environmental issues such as projected global warming due to human activities?
Global warming?
Yes, sir.
You mean like the 90s that we're having? Yeah. Now, look like those cars are growing. I think they're supposed to decreasing, and look like they're increasing. Are you pulling some off one of the rug or somewhere here? Yes. We're going to have to bring this to a close very soon. Now, global warming. I'm glad you asked the question. I want to tell you something that I have observed. If these automobiles that we like to ride in had never been made, I wouldn't have to sit in an oven 130 to 140 degrees hot until it cools off. So because of the invention of the automobile, we sit in these hot automobiles that we go and we're sitting in the sun, it's hot, it's just like an oven. We open the door and open both sides, let the heat out, and have to close the door. You can't drive with the four doors open, so you have to close the doors. I close the doors and get in there and oven. I feel the oven. I turn the switch quickly, air conditioning it on. It's blowing, and I'm waiting for it to cool down a little bit. And I thought about that. Look at this invention. Look, this invention has created a situation here where I have to expose myself to these high temperatures often in the day. But what is happening? The high temperature that we're exposing ourselves to in these automobiles is conditioning us to survive global warming. That's God's mercy. I believe God is ahead of us in everything that happens. God is always ahead of us. So God is getting us prepared for global warming. I don't see global warming as a doomsday. I see global warming as God's mercy. This cold Milwaukee is one day going to be warmer. Some other state that has been warm is going to be cooler. Chicago is going to be warmer. Some other state that's been hot, in Arizona somewhere, it's going to be cooler. God has to rotate his mercy, as the scriptures say. He rotates his mercy. So don't be frightened by these scientists. Some of them are stone crazy. They're batty as batty in a bat. Some of them. So don't be worried about their predictions. Believe in God, and that whatever God allows to happen, ultimately, it's going to work for the good of mankind.
Okay, we'll end up with two more questions here. This question says, what does Muhammad got to do with God?
What does Muhammad has to do with God? Now, I'm going to take that personal. My name is Muhammad. What do I have to do with God? I have to obey God. I have to obey God. That's what I have to do with God. Obey God. Respect God. Am I important to God? I'm nothing. I'm a little nothing. And God has given me such respect among people. God has given me such a respect as a human creation in Scripture. God has put a great value on me, and I'm nothing. When I look at God, look at myself, I'm nothing. What I have to do with God? Nothing. Not important. I'm not important. But God has made me important. God says, "Qad karamna kulli bani Adam." God certainly gave respect and honor to every human child from Adam, descended from Adam.
We are seeking to construct our schools in a more natural fashion than it is now. Would you say a gradual approach is better or a complete change, say, over a summer?
Well, we have to study the need. Study the need, know the need, and know what we have to offer as solutions. And then, once we know that, once we know the need and what we have to answer the need, sometimes that says, go at it and go at it speedily. And sometimes what we see will say, take gradual steps. Don't go too fast with it. So I can't say go fast or slow. The situation, once you know it, will tell you whether to go fast or slow.
Okay, and those are all the questions that we'll take. We'd like to thank, once again, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir. Allahu Akbar.
Let me make one final comment.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your brave questions.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.